from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Skibbity toilet.
I don't know what that means.
He said it a couple times now, and I've kind of just went with it to see if he would stop, but it just encouraged him to keep doing it.
I can't hear it.
I got one kid that still likes me and says, hey, say skibbity toilet on a radio show, and I go, I'm on it.
One kid that likes me still, and that's the quest.
What is it? Skip the toilet?
Skibbity toilet.
Skibbity toilet.
Oh, that's pretty great. Okay.
This is why you guys are the worst, is you feed into this.
No, I think it's pretty great.
We were all on board with it being a weird thing he was doing, and then you go, oh, what was it again?
I think it's a t-shirt.
He goes, that's pretty cool.
That's right.
We should put that on a bumper sticker and sell it to people.
Hey, you're listening to Live from the Path. Here's what we got going on the show this evening. One, we've got a few news articles. Interestingly, can hip-hop be saved?
Ugh.
I sure hope so.
Is this in response to the Eminem thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
What happened with Eminem?
Maybe it'll happen in there.
The last days passages pastors rarely preach on. We'll see if Dan is guilty.
I bet I have.
Dan's like, I fear no passage.
And four signs the 10 plagues are reappearing.
That's ought to be great.
Four signs. Ooh. I feel like you should have 10 signs or you cannot say the plagues are reappearing.
It's the four signs on the 10 plagues, but not 10 signs for 10 plagues.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, can you argue that, yeah, locusts exist and then there's a famine somewhere? Yep, must be the plagues coming back.
Yeah.
I feel like all 10 or none.
Okay. Well, we'll see what
That's probably from someone who doesn't know what the plagues were all about, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like they're a front to each god?
Yeah. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, that seems possible. All right.
They're making fun of me. I'm the frog man.
We believe in the Nile. Well, it's blood now.
Imagine
being an Egyptian during that. That's crazy. Like, you are, everything you believe in is that you've prayed to the harvest.
Right.
And, like, your wheat, it really responds to you. And then your hippo god that loves your fertility, like, is really going to take care of you. And then all of your firstborn children die, and you're like, oh no, hippo god.
My gods aren't nearly as impressive as I thought.
Right.
Can't you see, like, a frog wearing a top hat and a monocle, and it's raining frogs?
Jiminy
and
Cricket?
Like,
no, that's
come on.
I don't know. I don't know why you steampunk the Egyptian people.
I think they're making fun of me.
Don't be fanning no frog then. I control them. Who's this Yahweh?
All right. Booba, you've got...
We're going to have to get out of town.
The frogs are mine, man.
On this same track, Booba's been running into pastors going off the rails, including one on the presence of UFOs.
Yeah. And here's the deal. I got to run into the situation that, like, I've not listened to this yet, but, like, it seems to be that UFOs are the topic of conversation to the point where someone felt the need that they needed to preach on the existence of UFOs, whether or not they're real, whether it's a government hoax, or possibly were UFOs what Ezekiel may have seen when he was looking into the sky and seeing a cloud and all that different stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Was it a UFO? If you look into other mythic texts, there are other situations in which people describe something that is unidentified, is an object, and may be flying. And so, are UFOs real?
Okay. All right. We're going to get to that.
Awesome. That frog finally gets to Sabbath and he sees this UFO go by. Come on, man.
I feel like all I have is frogs. If I'm being honest about the powers that I have, I've got amphibians, and that's about it. Not even all of them, just the frogs.
I find Booba real funny today.
That's unfortunate for the program.
It really is.
Mike, you had, I'm forgetting the thing. You had a run-in.
Gideon study.
Yes, Gideon. Tell me about your Gideon study.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Pope-style advice or not, because, like, you know how these studies are going to be. They're going to send you direction as if you and Gideon are living the same life. But I did come across... I did come across the thing where I thought God was very specific and used particular circumstances that Gideon was in to remind me of some things. And so if we got time, I'll tell you that story.
Okay. Did you throw a fleece out on the ground? Is that what happened?
No, I didn't do that.
I know you have access to fleeces, so I didn't know if this was that
situation.
We kill
all the fleas. We just use the spray.
Yeah, yeah. I totally misunderstood that as well. I captured, I bought some from, there's a circus of them. That's what you call a bunch of fleas together, a circus. And I put them out, and the Lord did not respond.
Yeah, he didn't, like, rain on a circus of fleas for you?
Yeah, I misunderstood it. I think it's the Hebrew. Got me confused.
It's the translation. It's circus the Hebrew, wasn't really
also,
a word
also, we found
back
out
then
over the weekend, because we played Agnes Day.
Day, yeah.
Agnes Day. And then Agnes means sheep. And we named one of our sheep Agnes, unknowingly. So we really named one of our sheep.
Sheep. That's awesome.
Like, it's embarrassing.
I think it's lamb.
Same.
Yeah, same.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the one who should know what's the difference, Mike.
Yeah. Why don't you stay in your lane, Ben?
Okay.
Yeah, shut up, Ben.
All right. So article number one, can hip-hop be saved? I only brought this up because I don't care.
I care.
I think this is stupid. It's a medium. It's not implicitly needing redemption or falling under condemnation. It is just a set of music.
It's because hip hop didn't give you life and culture and meaning like it did to some of us.
Like you.
MC Buva.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not done you right. I'll tell you that.
No, yeah. DJ Biscuits is dead. Yeah. Long gone.
Okay. Let's talk about this last day's passage.
That's it. That's all we're talking
about. Yeah, that's
about
it. I don't care about it. I just pulled
well,
it up.
You just wanted to bring it up that an article existed.
I guess
that
it didn't get saved.
Can hip hop be saved? And yeah, you're just like,
it's
don't
out
care.
Yeah, no, I looked at it and said, this is stupid.
Hey, man, if you want to do more shows throughout the week, I bet I could do them on my own if we just read articles at the beginning of them and go, I don't care about that.
Okay.
And then just move past
this
them.
This is a great idea. I'm going to start cutting a every other week 10-minute episode of which I read the subject of an article and go, don't care.
Right. We could just read what exists out there and be like, Don, that doesn't particularly matter to me at all.
I was getting a lot of flack this week about our TikTok and Instagram presence because they only cut 30-second videos and they're cut terribly. And so, like, someone's gearing up to fire up a story, and then you don't get to hear the end of the story. It's not like you can click it to see the rest of the video either. And then they said, unbelievable, the Dan fan club is like, and Dan never seems to be talking in any of these TikTok videos. And I go, it's not my fault. Dan says offensive things all the time, and we have to have the AI basically cut him out.
I mean, here's awesome the deal. That's everyone's YouTube short strategy for the most part. Like,
yeah, people hate it.
They can
you
hate
got
it
on
they
board
want
of a ship that people hate.
Here's the deal. They can hate it as much as they want. The point is to drive you to go and try and find the other clips.
To that point, though, I guess I could probably start providing the link to the full show.
Sure.
Or at least the snip. Like, if you're going to tell 15 seconds of a story, take them to a 2-minute video of the whole story.
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like you can't do so YouTube is a good example. If it's over 55 seconds, it's not a reel. It shows up. So, like, no joke.
It'll be a post.
Our average YouTube reel gets like 500-600 views within 24, 48 hours. Our average YouTube post, so anything over 55 seconds, literally, like four of them happened in the last 5 days, and the combined views are 9.
Yeah.
You don't
nobody
get
likes
it
long form.
Nope. You don't get it. And
they
so,
want to snip it.
Yeah. It is also, it's the AI. The AI cuts them. I do minimal editing, and then I just push them through. Although I tell you what, the thing everybody enjoyed the most was the FOMO on there was a wide agreement that gas station sodas are top, and bringing your own sodas on a road trip is terrible.
Okay, good.
That was agreed upon.
Humanity's on its way back.
Somebody's like, finally, someone who understands me.
Yeah, I'd put that down as one of the signs of the apocalypse. Everybody can agree, ain't nobody want to be bringing homemade soda.
Hey man, here as a real quick road trip hack, do PB&J sandwiches. Just pack them. It's freaking great. I know it's ridiculous, but like my road trip life changed for me and my wife when we started packing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because it's like $3 to do a whole loaf of PB&Js. Yeah. And then you don't have to stop every time you get hungry. You got snacks already and it stops us. I mean, we were spending hundreds of dollars on trips on food and then it turned into like.
That's the fun part.
We spent
you're basically
gas
saying,
alone.
You know what you should do at Disney World? Sit on a bench.
But you know what you should do at Disney World? Not go.
Yeah. Boova's option is to go to Disney World and bring your own tablet and watch Disney movies while sitting there.
That is so far from being a fair comparison to what I'm saying.
Like, I nailed it. That's exactly what you're saying.
Going to Disneyland in front of the magical kingdom and going, man, I love Jiminy Cricket.
That's just like the beginning of this movie.
Did y'all know Pinocchio wasn't even a real boy? How crazy is this? Like, you idiot, turn around.
I could eat this smashed up sandwich. I got my pocket. Why I watch Peter Pan?
Yeah, you got to take care of your PB&Js. I'm not saying step on them, then eat them and go, I love the savings.
I don't get to go out to eat anymore. Now I got to babysit these fragile sandwiches I made at home.
What is wrong with you people? It's not hard to do this.
Sounds terrible.
What ridiculous world do you live in that management of a PB&J seems to be the craziest part of your
life? I ain't going on no road trip with you, I'll tell you that.
That's a real poverty mindset.
Yeah. You're like that Mr. Wilson neighbor of the Dennis the Menace. Ain't nobody want to be hanging out with you.
You guys are the worst.
Bob Kiyosaki says, you will not succeed. All right. We're going to see if the last day's passages that pastors rarely preach on, we'll see. It says, you won't hear pastors preaching about this in church on Sunday.
Yeah, we don't care.
Prophecy is found throughout Scripture. End times, prophecy touches every person alive today. Jesus taught on it. So did John, Paul, Peter, James, and Jude. Yet only a small percentage of churches teach this crucial part of God's message to our generation. Do you anybody have any guesses what this is?
What? Matthew 24?
I mean, those are the key ones. Don't you think?
1 Thessalonians.
This is a... You think it's in 1 Thessalonians?
Or Revelation.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, or all of Revelation.
Somebody's saying it's what people don't preach on.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I'm stumped because I don't know.
No one talks about that sea monster woman.
It can't be one of the things we're saying, though, because that's like too obvious.
Yeah, everybody does those. Yeah.
It's probably something about the squid are going to take over the ocean or something. I don't know.
It could,
there's a dragon with seven heads and 10 crowns coming out of the water.
The UFO man is onto something.
Could be that Medusa come out of the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is she like eating a baby?
Few churches preach or teach on the last days, particularly from the Old Testament. When they do preach on it, it's usually in reference to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, or the book of Revelation. When pastors only touch on end times passages from the New Testament, they are starting the story from the end.
So they're trying to bring in Daniel.
Are they going to Daniel?
Yeah, not at the beginning, which can be confusing and doesn't help people to understand the full story. Here are five last days passages pastors rarely teach on.
Here we go.
Number one, Jacob's prediction of the last days.
What?
Is this hitting anybody? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Circle gets a square. The first last days prediction can be found in Genesis. This passage speaks of the last days of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's time is short. It will not be long before he departs the world. Before he passes, he calls for his sons to gather together that he might tell them the things that will befall them in the last days. Genesis 49:1. Is that, are those last days prophecies?
I don't think so.
Hold on.
Is that?
Yeah, like
this guy's view,
last
yeah,
days but, of, yeah. of the tribes of Judah is in like, or the tribes of Israel, excuse me.
I mean, the tribes still exist right now, right?
No. Okay, so here we go.
No one claims to be a Benjamite?
Oh, they might trace a lineage back there.
I was going to say, doesn't modern-day Judaism still identify yourself by tribe?
Yeah, there's a relevance to it. I don't know if they would think of themselves like...
Right, like my land is of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
I'm a Gadite.
I don't know about... I don't think anybody's associated with Gad. All right, 49, Genesis 49. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come." It's not last days... is in days to come. Assemble, listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power. Turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel, for you went up unto your father's
bed. I thought
this
was just an old man's speech before he died.
Right, talking to his boys.
Kids. I mean, it was the blessings for the kids and stuff.
But this is not, it's not last days. It doesn't say last days. I don't know why he thinks this is an end times prophecy.
I haven't seen any biblical commentaries that are taking it as the last day.
Yeah, it sounds like the four things that no one's preaching on is because that's not right. Because
it's not right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't heard anybody preach about this yet. It's because you understand it incorrectly.
He said some of these prophecies included his prediction to Reuben. He was the firstborn, but he gave up his birthright by his evil actions. The birthright then moved to Joseph, who received a double portion as the oldest son of Jacob's wife, Rachel. Simeon and Levi, these two brothers were mentioned together as being violent. Their land will be divided. This did occur later, because it's not the last days. That's why we have record of it already.
Right.
Dummy. There was also his prediction to Judah, of which the biblical writers looked and believed was fulfilled through Jesus. Yep. That's why they looked at Jesus the way he did. So, like, I don't... He says, isn't it incredible that the first mention of the last days is in the first book of the Bible and not the last?
No, it's not a
question. Although
it's
there's not a question mark there. It's a weirdly worded statement. But no. Okay. So no one preaches on that because it's erroneous.
So he did he skip right over Genesis 3?
The prophecy to Eve?
Yeah. You on Gileon?
Like the
with the serpent?
The serpent will you will like her children will step on your the serpent and strike its heel and stuff like that.
If I remember correctly, one of the big things points of interpretation about the last days is especially in the New Testament as we're referring to the last days, they're just saying like all the days before, and then the last days are all the other days, the days up to coming. Right? Think of it as two halves, like all the previous days, and we're in the last days. We're in the end times. The end times because, like we said, as soon as we said the end times going forward, this is all end times. They're not sectioned out much more than that. There's only like two halves.
From a New Testament the writer's perspective, yes. They said basically all the times prior to Jesus were a set of days, and then like anything after that are the last ones because it is known, there's nothing else to occur, and so whatever these days are, they are leading to the end of days.
So when they say like we're in end times, last days, blah blah blah,
just means anything after Jesus.
Anything after Jesus, that right? So it looks at it as in two halves. So there's not like a mysterious last days. You're in it. You're already in it.
It's like before Christ and after death.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And like that because they didn't know, even based upon things Jesus said, like it cannot be known, and they just looked. Everything fell into the same bucket of these are the end. These are the last ones. However long they are, these are it. Okay, so the next option, here we go. There were five. Moses' warning to the Israelites. Moses gave a warning to the children of Israel concerning what would happen to their offspring in the last days. Moses says, "For I know that after my death you are sure to become utterly corrupt and turn from the way I have commanded you. In days to come." Again, he's every interpretation
very
of
much
days to come.
All of the things that happened after Moses died.
Right.
Like
during the days
the
of Joshua.
The rest of the Old Testament.
Yeah, like tomorrow this will happen to you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Read anything after Moses in the Old Testament. You go, oh, these aren't like future tense now. They've already happened to them.
Yeah, this it says, God promises that if they will turn back to God, he will not forsake them and will remember his covenant with their ancestors. We learn from this that due to the wicked actions of the offspring of the tribes of Israel, there will be evil times and tribulations for them in the last. This is just bad theology. All this is bad.
Maybe they're... Right. They're that being kicked out of the promised land a couple times, being kicked into exile multiple times. Sounds like some things that already happened thousands of years ago.
Yeah. And like, think about it. If you, in that same bucket of stuff, like the Moses
this happened
teaching,
in Judges. It's in there.
Yeah. in Deuteronomy, he's having this speech to the Israelites. Like one of the things he says is like, one will come like me. And like, that's not the end times either. Like we readily acknowledge that this is fulfilled in Jesus. And so whatever this is. There's no reason to believe that it's due to the end times or the last days.
Yeah. Why do we have to look at that as something that's like a future prophecy to us that should be impactful versus like we could look at it and go, this historically did happen and this is how God acted that's how the Israelites acted and can learn from it that way.
Yeah.
Like
the
we
name
can
of
still
the article
change.
Should be, here's when God said how it would go down and then it did.
Yeah, exactly. Four things that pastors aren't talking about. You know how God says he'll do things and then does them? What's crazy about that, guys?
It is funny though, like, and this had come up recently in a conversation we're having about like last days type of stuff, is that it is often hard for people to let go of passages that they believe were the last days, even though there are like relevant points in history of which those are fulfilled.
Yes.
And they're like, well, can it be both? I'm like, I could, but why?
Why does it need to be?
Why do we, what are we gaining? Like from it being last days, it's because you're asking something out of the scripture that isn't intending to communicate, and there's some sense of like, well, if it doesn't tell me, I won't know. Well, Jesus told you wouldn't know, so like, get onto the program,
right,
homie.
Exactly.
Yeah, your comfort isn't in knowing when it's going to end. The comfort is in the fact that you can be called a son or daughter of Christ
whenever
if
it
you
does.
Choose to. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You still have oil on your lamp.
Yeah,
right.
When he comes back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Bring extra oil. Yeah. It may be a while.
Yeah. Right. Right. And so, yeah, I guess that, like maybe the encouragement here, this person has gone like off the rails with it. You're looking for something. You're looking for an answer to a question that the scriptures are not trying to solve for you.
And actively say they won't.
And so, and it's one of the key ways to, as you read Revelation wrong, is you're asking questions that John is not trying to answer. Like,
right.
what's the name of the third horseman? I don't know. What did, if it mattered, he would have said
right.
so.
Yeah. Hey, it's Bill. Hey, Bill.
It's Bill, but you can call me Famine.
Bill, knock it off.
So, like, Yeah, I just that. But it's a key question, though, is if the scriptures are not trying to tell you this, why are you infatuated with wanting to know?
Right.
Shouldn't we go, you know, it's not speaking to it. Maybe it's because I shouldn't spend my time focused on it.
Yeah.
Like
those four horsemen of the apocalypse are like WWF wrestlers from back in the day. They're like, I know that you were on that tag team called the Destroyers, and now you're trying to act like your name is like one of the, like Bob Badman. Like, I know, look, you're just the other guy dressed up in a horseman outfit.
You will always be Samoa Joe to me.
You're the Superfly Jimmy Snuka. You are definitely not the fourth horseman.
Number three,
the angels see everything.
Please make that into a T-shirt somehow. The four wrestlers of the apocalypse
with
like
the Superfly
Macho
Jimmy
Man
Snuka.
Randy Savage on there. That's just yes.
I mean, think about it. The angels, like, there's only a finite number of these created beings, right? You'd figure you see these dudes around the block a couple of times. You're like, dude, you were just the third horseman. Now you're acting like you're some kind of political influencer in the middle of Madagascar. I don't believe any of this.
Yeah. Or, like, you think it's known? You think, we're say, like, some of these entities who have a role.
Right.
Of which
– Trump.
And, like, I'm open to the horsemen and stuff actually are all doing things that have been true over
yeah, right.
time. Famine and exaggeration of prices and all those things. But, like, if you just had it in your picture of your mind of a guy who knows it's coming eventually. Yeah. He's like, you wait. Like,
just
Jesus,
sitting in training.
Jesus is going to call me up for the minors. You wait. I'm going to the bigs.
Right. Did all the angels that were responsible for trumpet blasts, like, did they know their entire existence that they were going to be the ones to call upon as the sixth seal breaks? It's like, aha! That's me. Trumpet chair six. I got this. Let's do this.
I'm low on valve oil. Oh, man.
It's also,
give me a second. I got a spit valve.
Also be funny if they're like doing, you know, it's the fifth grade in the angel territory, and they're like, dude, which instrument? And like, no one's choosing tuba. I don't hear nothing about no tuba.
Yeah. Why does everybody want to be a trumpet? I don't know. It seems more important.
I want to get in the game.
Guys, like,
bugles don't count.
I knew this was coming. That's why we do the trumpet blast, not the French horn blast. Ain't nobody want to play the French horn when the days are over.
It's like, bring out the flutes.
Skip it to toilet.
Number three, the book of Jeremiah records the final prophecies to Judah, warning of oncoming destruction if the nation does not repent. That was literal and about the historical times, and they did occur.
It did occur, yes.
What is the matter with you? All right, Jeremiah calls out for the nation to turn back to God. At the same time, Jeremiah recognizes the inevitability of Judah's destruction due to its unrepentant idolatry and immorality.
Which happened.
Agreed.
You should definitely read the Old Testament. There's good stuff in there.
Right? Yes, exactly. This is the total misunderstanding of, like, prophecy very rarely means, like, future days of, like, us now. It, like,
oh, yeah.
You just it's impossible. It's possible. You should not be able to look at this stuff and go, oh, man, we really need to look out for when Judah is going to fall. What is Judah to you right now? Like, what does that even mean at all?
Yeah.
Like, what are you waiting for the kingdom of Assyria to come along and do? They've been gone for a while, and I don't think that they're coming back anytime soon to take over the tribe of Judah.
Okay, here's the thing. We do this, though, because, like, pastors will take liberties, and they'll be like, they'll teach on the Old Testament, and they'll go, now, what's your Asherah pole? And everyone's like, oh, no. I do have an
Facebook
Asherah
pole.
It's social media and Instagram. I worship it, I do.
I keep bringing up the Asherah poles of my Instagram, God.
That's the thing, is we keep trying to tie it together for them so people can see themselves in the scriptures. And here we are, whiz-bang, 50 years later, everyone's like, these scriptures are all about me.
What is your worship of Molech?
I didn't think about that. You're right, like our... Often trying to find some sort of there are moral points in there, but like
right,
trying to go where do you fit in the story has inevitably taught people to look for themselves in the story,
right.
Of which you should look for yourself in the pattern of the story.
Yes, exactly.
What's the message of the story? What's God telling us? Not where am I?
Right, exactly. How can I learn from Samson rather than like can't cut my hair?
Yeah,
it's gonna get real rough in here if Delilah comes along.
I know what to do if there's bees. This book is practically very helpful.
Lord, just give me the strength to pull down the Philistine temple of my life that is Facebook.
Never date a woman named Delilah.
I saw a dead donkey.
I saw myself in that story.
On the side of the road, and I said, I was made to conquer. And I stole his face. I did.
I hope you're done with your foreskins.
Because I'm going to have them.
I need a bag of those.
I'm going to have all of
them. I am so looking forward to that being a YouTube short that cuts itself perfectly that AI just grabs a hold of and we get to put that out into the world. Oh, no. That is a thing you said live on the internet. Oh, gosh.
I came here to...
Don't Billy Jack it. There's no reason to. You okay, don't have to.
I'm just saying.
Came here to chew bubble gum.
Came here to collect foreskins and take the jawbone of an ass. And I'm all out of jawbones. Anyway,
I'm Billy saying, Sampson.
Sometimes you're taking some liberties. I'd be like, "Who's the Molech in your life?"
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And now everybody's like, "Every bit of prophecy has something to do
that's
with you."
True. Yeah. What's the donkey that God's using to tell me that there's danger ahead? Okay, Balaam.
Number four, Isaiah's prediction of judgment on Old Covenant Israel in the last days.
Yeah, that's why we have a new covenant. This is right.
Boy, I mean. That one
is 4 for 4. This is great.
I'm going to skip that one because it sets itself up. Joel's number 5. Joel's prediction that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the last days. I mean, again, those days have already come. And so, yes. So here's the thing. This would align with how I think the New Testament writers would say last days. But you didn't propose it that way. You're talking about sensationalism like, because didn't you call it? The passages pastor rarely preach on, and then you gave the context of like end times.
Right.
But like.
Yeah, these are the things that we need to be looking out for in the future. Like these are things that people are shying away from preaching on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But our future about, speaking truth.
We preach about Pentecost all the time. When the Holy Spirit showed up on this earth and tore things up. That's everybody's favorite thing to preach on.
Tongues of fire.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Those are the 5. That's terrible.
I feel like we would have had a better time with that hip-hop article, if I'm being real honest.
Yeah, okay. Well, so let's try these. Okay, without sight unseen,
yep.
Can you name any of these supposed 4 signs the 10 plagues are reappearing?
The locust boom or the cicada boom that's happening right
okay,
now.
Okay, lots of cicadas, like every year. Yep.
Or every 17
there
years.
There has to be some kind of body of water turning rust red due to
red heifers?
Iron.
No, that's not.
It has to be a COVID thing.
Okay.
Right.
COVID brings on the plagues. It is the plague.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pestilence coming on.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're not. Is one of the plagues
blackness,
pestilence?
Darkness is not happening.
Boils, I guess.
Right. Why? Am I not remembering some sort of prophecy that implied the 10 plagues would reappear? Actually, it follows it in Revelation. I get that. Like, there's a consistency, I think, with the bowls. I know where this is coming from. That mirror the 10 plagues. Related to the bulls. There's like an animal, there's darkness, there's...
Army of locusts.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Humans' heads and swords and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, Alaska is dark a lot.
That's probably one of them. That's where this comes from.
The fact that our oh, gosh.
Okay.
The darkness.
The 10 plagues,
hemisphere.
Which are recorded in the book of Exodus, are disasters God sent to the Egyptians when Pharaoh refused to let the Hebrews go free and allow them to worship God. Unfortunately, Pharaoh didn't let the Hebrews go free, and Egypt suffered extreme devastation as a result of the 10 plagues. Ultimately, the plagues represent God's power over the gods of Egypt and Pharaoh. Okay, so far, so good.
Yep.
All right.
The plagues, let's see. The plagues of Egypt included blood, frogs, lice, wild animals or flies, pestilence of livestock, boils, thunderstorms of hail and fire, locusts, darkness for 3 days, and death of the firstborn. We know from Exodus that the first plague lasted for 7 days, the 9th plague lasted for 3 days, and the 10th was for one night, beginning at midnight. We aren't told in Scripture how long the other 7 plagues lasted, but they were likely not much longer than these.
Okay.
Many have questioned whether science can explain the plagues of Egypt. The question of whether Bible stories can be linked to archaeological discoveries has fascinated scholars for centuries. The 10 plagues are not excluded from this. Throughout history, scientists have been curious about whether the story of plagues are based on some event that can be proven to have happened. Science has come up with a number of major theories. Recently, there's been a wave of 4 biblical plagues. This has many people wondering if the remaining 6 will soon strike. According to Jewish tradition, all of the plagues that struck Egypt will reappear before the final redemption. No quote as to where that's coming from. Here are the 4 signs that the 10 plagues are reappearing. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number 1, the plague of blood.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about the first plague in Exodus 7:20, which says Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned to blood. Recently, there were signs of the first plague appearing with water turning to blood. There were several cases of rivers turning blood red reported in different spots around the world, according to Breaking Israel News.
According to Breaking Israel News.
Okay.
What a way to immediately make me want to, like, close your article.
There's, like, no context that goes, hey, there was no silt around. There was not red clay in the bottom
of the
That's
what I was just about to say. It was red clay in the river base.
There was a man recently slaughtering 10,000 chickens due to the avian flu just upstream.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Is when Yahweh shows up, water turns to blood. When whatever else you're trying to make show up,
gross red.
It's kind of reddish, and you're suspicious of it, right? Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Just like when you were a youngster, and then you saw, like, horizontal lightning once, and you're like, I think this is it.
No.
I mean, I think the end times are upon us.
It's the Prince of Egypt where the pharaohs, like magicians, pour dye into a bowl of water and turn it red and then go, you see
how it's happening?
It's the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm not convinced. Number two, the plague of hail. There were also signs of the seventh plague, hail, recently, with hail showing up in many unexpected locations. Buva, dig on this. Some of these included Saudi Arabia.
They've never seen hail once.
Which was hit by base-ball? Why? Baseball-sized hail.
You are the kind of person that would go, unnecessary hyphen.
I don't even know what it is. Like, I know what a baseball is. Base-ball feels really weird.
That's not even an item.
Some European sport?
Which was hit by baseball-sized hail in Swaziland, South Africa, where the hail was so intense that it killed a herd of cows. What really caught attention was the biblical mix of fire and ice that struck in Australia as ice storms.
What?
No detail. What do you mean?
Struck as ice storms? Like there was fire in the sky and ice was pouring down simultaneously?
Right. Like,
because if that happened.
If the hail was on fire, that's,
right, yes, that's right. Epic. If you have frozen hail that is also on fire, that is a meteorological event that I may get behind and go, maybe?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's either that or Trans-Siberian Orchestra is playing a concert at your place.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Australia's got some crazy stuff happening to it. Fire hail does sound like something that Australians be like, oh, man, Tuesday.
Here we go again.
Could have been the freezer jet that blew up in the sky. I mean.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You got ice.
Okay. No, yeah, all right. So I Googled Australia ice storms with fire. I thought, certainly, there must be a million news articles on this. What happened was, there were fires in the bush, like more bushfires rolling over Australia, and then a hailstorm came in. And so, at the same time—
Which those two things can happen simultaneously, because one is not a temperature-based event.
This is not the same thing as hail that is on fire.
Right, yes, exactly. If you have fiery ice, that I will go, oh, maybe.
Maybe.
If you have someone that started a brush fire— And it took over the land, which is not surprising in Australia. And then there was a meteorological event where it got cold in the atmosphere.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I got hit by a car accident and shot one time. This must be God.
It gets very difficult for people because, like, some of the crazy events in the Bible, we're like, yeah, I'm asking you to believe this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This is out of bounds. Your imagination's got to take over, and it is amazing. And then other things— You so want to make it make sense in your own head that you agree to something dumb. Like, there was a fire on the ground and hail from above, and this is now like a huge biblical event. When this is a common event,
this is either
I let
God
almost
or
every
a Led
fire
Zeppelin
at my house get put out by rain. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't – this is just a regular thing.
Oh, no.
It gives you the image of, like, some wacky Wally up there up on his roof with, like, cups of ice – at a fire in his yard and going, Yahweh reigns. And he's just like chucking stuff down like, come see, the Lord is upon us.
I was in a blizzard one time and I saw somebody start a fire. Was that the Lord?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
No, that was a conflagration from combustion, you idiot.
Bill, you're not the third horseman. Will you stop?
Call me famine.
Like, this is where, remember in Matthew 24, Jesus has an aside. He's like talking about all these things of which are going to be the destruction of the temple. And he goes, look, I know you think it's going to be the return of the second return, but like it's not. It's not going to be in a closet. It's not going to be out in the wilderness. It's going to be like lightning in the sky. It's going to be so obvious that like you're not going to have
to
go, oh, I wonder, is this it? And so it's not going to be a brush fire and hail mix somewhere in Auckland.
Right, exactly.
Like it's
I
just
think that's New Zealand.
It's just not. So like whatever. I chose the area of the world. So like the. It's just like you have to think about, are you trying to find something that Jesus said, don't worry about, it's going to be super obvious, and you're like, yeah, but maybe it's hidden out here, exactly like he said it wasn't going to be. Like, either Jesus is right, and here's the deal. If Jesus is wrong about this, he's wrong about everything.
Yeah.
Like, you can chuck the whole deal. He's not wrong about this, which means you got to let it go.
The creator of the universe that's coming back is his second coming, and his kingdom is being fulfilled. But he only showed up in Australia.
Now, here's the thing, though. It's like people question all the time whether they heard from God or whether God was in the thing or he answered a prayer in a way. Is it ridiculous for humanity to go, look, I mean, we bounce back and forth trying to figure out, you know, ways and signs and the way God speaks, which is sometimes extremely mysterious. And you're like, I don't know, you know. But when it comes to the end times, it's going to slap you in the face. You're never going to know. Like, it's definitely going
to
be the thing.
Yeah, you know, so that's not ambiguous to me because Jesus was clear. Right. And he knew this. I think it is a discernment thing. It is a maturity thing, in hearing God's voice, recognizing when he's speaking to you, maybe not, whatever. I think that's right. And I think actually scripture bears that out. Jesus spoke very clearly about this particular thing. Yeah. One, you're not going to know what's happening. Two, there are going to be no signs. And so as long as those two things are clear, then I get to let it go. It just gets to be off my plate.
Stop looking for signs.
Yeah. It says, this was after what really caught attention was the biblical mix of fire and ice that struck in Australia's ice storms. It came as ice storms, meaning only ice from the...
Only ice, and things were on fire on the ground.
It could be hailing, and there's a dude out there with a Bic lighter that he bought at the gas station.
Fire and ice! Call me famine!
The Bible addresses this in Exodus 9:22, which says, Hashem said to Moses... Or Moshe. Why did they write it in the Hebrew? Like, it's a bad Hebrew translation.
Who's Moshe?
Moshe.
Bobby Boucher. So Waterboy.
Hashem is the name said to, and they, Moshe, M-O-S-H-E, Moses, I'd imagine. But then everything else is in English. Hold out your arm towards the sky that hail may fall on all land of Egypt, upon man and beast and all the grasses of the field of the land of Egypt, which does not actually address the thing that you're talking about at all.
Wait a minute. Hashem is God?
It's the name. It's what they would use. So instead of saying Yahweh to not use God's name, you would use the word Hashem to mean the name.
Hashem translates as
the name.
The name.
Yeah.
Right. As a proper noun.
Yeah. Right. So you're so far away from it. It's like if Yahweh is the actual name and you don't want to say his name proper, and even the transliteration of it, like they're not okay with of voicing the syllables together.
Right.
You go, it's his name, but it's not just any name; it's the name. And
right.
So,
are we Hashem. So bold? Are we arrogantly saying Yahweh?
No, I actually thought I actually find this. If you've listened to any of the back programs, this has come up before because I've mentioned it. But like, I think it is the Bible translators do that. They translate Yahweh as all caps, the Lord. As a respect thing for the Jewish belief, but I think it misses something, like where God gives and uses his personal name.
Yeah, right.
There's something relational about that, right. And I actually think it's a bad translation to not know the difference between when it's saying the God or your God who, and then his personal name, which he's given to his people to know.
Yeah, and to carry.
Right, and that you make it more generic as the Lord. And I know they're setting it off with the all lowercase caps. They're trying. But, like, I actually don't like that. I would prefer a translation that when it says – when he uses his personal name, I want you to show his personal name.
It's fair, yeah.
Nobody cares what I think. Recently, Saudi Arabia – oh, boy, everything's happening in Saudi Arabia. Recently, Saudi Arabia was hit with a massive infestation of bugs, specifically locusts, which is the eighth plague. While natural causes were blamed for – not explained the insect's appearance. Natural causes
were blamed
for
this,
for the insect's appearance.
Locusts are having babies.
The images of locusts were quickly connected with the plague by you.
Right.
You alone.
If I see a bunch of locusts, I'll jokingly go, oh, plagues are back. But, like, I don't actually believe that God is weirdly not going in order and is sending plagues very isolated in areas of the world to somehow convey that the end times are coming.
Right.
Yeah, these aren't impressive plagues. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yeah, that town ran over by locusts.
Right.
I mean,
I don't need God to impress me by any means, but like, I feel like he's perfectly capable of it.
Right. It's like going, yeah, Yahweh's made his presence known by localized predictable events.
Yeah, exactly.
House fire in Charleston, South Carolina shows that God still has control of fire.
It could either be the return of Jesus or a train derailment, then I don't know that it's a plague.
Local scientists say weather means God.
Although we'll deny if ever asked in Scientific Journal.
Hey,
Israel Daily says hail and fire must be the Lord.
Actually, I didn't bring this article in because it's boring as crap. Like, it's super.
But let me guess, you read through it.
Okay, I did.
I soldiered through it, and I'm going to tell you about it in my words.
But it was I did actually do that. I almost shared it, and I thought you guys are going to read it. But it was a journal article, a science journal article, and it was about like. People, what they're noticing in the behavior of genes, like the evolutionary theory has always been around genes, mm-hmm. where the like genes have the randomness of genes causes the mutations and other things that drive the theory of evolution. But there's been extensive study. This has been going on for like 40 or 50 years where they're like, they believe it's still happening. You're still seeing evolution, but it's not happening at the gene level. It's at the organism level. So the collection of genes together. And so the thing that their scientists are struggling with is that like, it implies that there's some sort of not omniscience, but purpose, right?
Right.
Right. Right. It's like saying like the classic, how did the you can't say that the giraffe accidentally came and suddenly has this giant neck, but right. doesn't have the mechanism to
be
do
able
it.
To eat the
right. And so, but what they're saying is, well, it actually did. It wasn't a series of like random mutations at the gene level. There's something about the whole organism that has an inertia to it, a thought.
A motivation.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. But the thing is to have a motivation, it has to have some level of cognizance, and it implies a design that there is a thing that is trying to achieve, and you have to collectively have this aim of a bunch of random genes. And they're like, this is not explainable by Darwin's view of just a gene. So like, it's funny because they're not giving up on the sense of this kind of mutation, but it's intentional. And you're like, how could it have intent
because
as an
organism?
Because
how could it posture above its own station?
Well, yeah.
Right? Like, if it doesn't have the capability, well, it has to have motivation for one, and it has to know that there is better, and then it has to know how to get there.
Right. Genes aren't self-perpetuating or self-preserving, but organisms are at a cellular level, and that can take place and mutate over generations, because generations are just copies of the same cells over and over again that are actually showing a motivation towards survival or towards...
But once again, like, what gets the fish out of the water? What goes, I need legs?
Lack of food and oxygen in the water.
But it doesn't have any idea what a leg is. It doesn't know how to make a leg.
Right.
It doesn't know how to survive once it gets on the land. And then it can't sit there and motivate itself to create a leg. It's like, I want a leg. I'm going to go back to my water, and I'm just going to thunk on it real good. And then a leg will eventually crap out six generations down the line.
Right, exactly.
Like, it doesn't have any of the intention, motivation, or ability or knowledge to be able to produce the thing it actually needs.
Yeah. It's anyway, like so it's interesting. The things you would otherwise expect to see from some level of design, they're noticing as part of their study of evolution, and now they're trying to figure out how do you possibly explain in like what is ultimately randomness but intent.
Yeah. And it can't exist simultaneously.
At an organism level, not at a gene level. I'm like, okay, yeah. Great.
Yeah. That's divine intervention allowing cells to be like adaptable to circumstances.
Okay, final plague. This will get you. This is you. The last ones were like, but I think
this next one's the real hard hitter.
This is going to do it. Yeah, the final plague that has recently appeared is darkness. Exodus 10:21 speaks to this plague when it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there'll be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." In 2017. 2017. Just think back. Let your mind clock go back.
Got it.
So the Jack in the Box will pop. A total solar eclipse that crossed the continental U.S. was followed by one of the most catastrophic hurricane seasons that we've seen in our nation's history. Following this, there was a lunar eclipse that passed over the country with major biblical significance.
The country.
Okay, so again, an eclipse happened, so darkness, which on board with, yes, but why a hurricane? Why does that matter? Because that's not what happened to Egypt. It wasn't 3 days of darkness that also contained a hurricane. It was 3 days of darkness destroying the power of Ra.
Right.
Also, we do this every day. Like, we run a period of darkness every day. And then for 5 minutes, when there was an eclipse, we're like, oh, this has got to be the thing. Right? And like, we actually ran 12 hours of complete darkness yesterday. And you didn't have anything to say about
determinable paths of celestial bodies that we know will happen. Like, I tell you, if an eclipse happens that we don't expect, I think that might be a different situation.
That might be interesting.
That might be freaky if, like, all the people that at NASA and stuff like that are like, we didn't expect this one. Like,
yeah.
No.
If God's big old thumb covers up the sun or something for a second, you go, yeah. Well, I'll be.
You look in the sky and you see a hand cover over the sun, yes. Freak out. But, like, until that's the situation and we have the movement of celestial bodies that we've known about and tracked for thousands of years now, you can't go, oh, man, I'm really surprised by this darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we tell people when the next one's coming every time something like this shows up.
Lunar eclipse next May.
You're going to miss it. It's going to be 2065, and you're like, how old am I going to be? I'll be half dead. I don't care about this.
Exactly. 2065 rolls around. It's like, what? There's an eclipse?
Yeah. Those glasses.
And again, like, it's localized, right? Like, did the whole world have a terrible hurricane season? Or, like, Florida, which happens. And so it's like the expectation of the last days of Jesus' return is focused on our ability to put together what is a world bingo card. Hey, man, did you get lunar eclipse? Because I got lunar eclipse.
Yeah. Jerusalem, have you seen darkness?
Anybody? Fire and rain?
Ecuador goes, we have a two-headed camel. Is that on there? No, man, that ain't on there.
Anybody got frogs for 300?
Yeah. All right.
Bingo. Yeah, what's free space? I don't know. I think that would be the eclipse. That's what you should know is going to happen. So free space for sure.
Sin gets to be the free space. Do you have sin in your area?
Yes, we do. We do. Everybody put a card down.
Or just any old man going, the times were never like this when I was growing up.
Okay, that would be the worst bingo card ever, because, like, you got B-I-N-G, and the last one, like, you have four different ways to get to bingo, and all of them are, like, the freaking worst. They're like, well, serious earthquakes,
yeah, right.
Or your whole place will catch on fire, or you're like, I don't know, I really want to win this game,
right.
But I want none of these to happen.
To win bingo, a third of the stars have to fall out of the sky. Yeah. Oh, crap.
The Amalekites are coming back. I mean, I thought we had those guys whooped.
It finishes up, when the Israelites ultimately left Egypt, they had a very clear picture of the magnitude of God and his power. They also could see God's protection and plan.
Until they build a calf.
Until they did whatever they wanted to do within days.
3 days later.
I recognize your power, sir, but why couldn't you just leave us to die in Egypt like we wanted? Oh, yes, you're right. Excellent reading
of
the Old Testament.
I fed you. I don't know if we'll leave this
Do you
yet.
Think this calf was actually well done? Because, like, in all the depictions, like, this is a pretty proportional, good-looking calf. But, like, they threw this thing together hastily. I think it is, like, some kind of half-malformed calf.
They were all laborers.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time.
I don't know how skilled they were laborers,
well,
but
they,
like,
said Aaron did it. And so the question is like, do we give any other impression that he's good at gold? That he's a gold man?
He's not put in charge of anything on the temple or on top of the
tabernacle.
Yeah,
no, he doesn't make any bowls. I mean, he doesn't make any, like, part of the
cherubims. Yeah, they bring in the old Tubal Cain. Oh, Andrew, or what's his name, sits off to the side. Aaron ain't allowed to do nothing.
I mean, 3 weeks earlier, he was a slave, so it's not like he was a priest, all, you know, running around.
Yeah!
That's what I'm saying. You know that calf don't look that good.
Yeah, did he die cast this from sand? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
How big was it?
So it's probably squidgy looking.
Do we have an idea how big it was?
They'd have to be able to lift it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gold's heavy.
Yeah. Although Moses could lift it. I don't know.
It took a lot of time. Didn't they also try to act like they're like, I don't know, man, we put this stuff by the fire and poof, this cap came out.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, Moses. It just jumped out.
Like the 11th plague.
Or you melted all the gold.
We poured in all of our
it.
Jewelries and all of the things that we grabbed, and it just popped out.
Yeah. That's like me holding some TV dinner that my wife does not approve of that I've just pulled out of the microwave. I'm like, babe,
It fell in, babe.
I don't know what happened. Yeah. It came out of the microwave.
I said, I'm a hungry man, and all of a sudden this hungry man dinner showed up out of nowhere.
I tripped into this pulled pork sandwich. I don't know what happened.
After I purchased it, unwrapped it, put it in the microwave, put in the time, and pulled it back out.
And it's mashed potatoes. Happened. That means I had to pull it out one time and stir it and then put it back into the microwave.
I've tried to skip that step before. You can't do it.
You know what's so funny, though, is that, like, think of how many people have fallen from ministry, and this is the exact thing. Like, I don't know how this happened. You sure as heck do.
I fell into those messages with those ladies.
Yes, right. I went and hung out. I was reading, there was a story earlier this week. It was about a pastor of 100,000 attendee congregation, and 25 or 30 years ago, he had to leave ministry for 2 years because he, as an 18 or 19-year-old, like, touched a 12-year-old girl inappropriately, like, mold, like, all over. Okay. Yeah, okay. And so the dad of this girl shows up and is like, I want him out of ministry. And they put him through some sort of like process or whatever. And 2 years later, he's like, it's time for me to come back into ministry. And he's like, the dad gave the approval. And the girl who's like, I don't know, 60 now or something goes, my dad sure as heck did not give the approval. He's lucky my dad didn't kill him.
Right.
Right.
And so this guy's been on, and the church goes, you know, he went through the process and he's reinstated and he's had accountability ever since. I'm like, I don't know, man. Are you, I don't know. I don't know about this at all. This is a hard no for me.
Yeah, me
you're
too.
Not kicked out of the faith, but like it's difficult to be in a pastoral situation you're where
no
your
longer
job
qualified
is to be
to
like,
lead.
Right. Yeah,
exactly right. But yeah, this guy's like, you know, I was at a house and we were staying there, and like he invites this girl into his room and then does things, right? And he's like, you know, it was just like a moment of difficulty for me. You're like, you shut your stupid mouth. Moment of difficulty.
There was 1,100 moments of difficulty that led up to that.
This is what I'm saying, is that like, this is not, I don't accept. Yeah. I don't accept this. I don't care about the pressure you're under. I don't care what the heck you're trying to do. I don't care about any of this. But it's that kind of thing where like, boy, I just don't know how this happened. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you don't just go from I have no problems to, oh, I did this.
This is not an unknown path.
No, that's garbage. You could have repented of 1,000 crappy thoughts. You could have taken yourself out of ministry in the presence of any of these things at any time. You could have told people, look, told your wife, said, look, this is terrible. This thing popped in my mind, and I'm fighting. I wish I wasn't. I feel awful. Right. Don't. You keep me out of situations. You don't put me anywhere. You tell your elders right away. Like, there's a million things you could have done. Yeah. That don't have you in that situation, but you were a coward.
We just had a very well-known guy retire in somewhat shame, saying that he had committed a sin several years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it was real vague, you know, and it's like, so like, why even bring that up now? Like what, you know, there was no repentance. There was no accountability. There was no, how many other things did he do? Like,
right. This is the thing he's willing to say.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, I'm in my 70s, I guess I'm out. So I'll just say this now. And I don't know. We're not hard enough on that stuff, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Like, the ability for people to repent and find grace is very strong, but, there are consequences to these things. There's a protection. Here's the thing, is that when it feels – frankly, this was a lot of the theme of the Me Too movement, was like when it feels like the most of your energy is trying to protect the instigator of something or other.
Yeah.
And it's institution or whatever.
The institution, the person, the role, the whatever all these things are. And like – it seems like where there is a righteous. Here's the thing: is like not baby in bathwater. Can their person find reconciliation? Yes, he needs to repent. He needs to go deal with the things that he did. He's not forever separated from Jesus. But like in protection for this girl and anybody else this man would ever be around. No, the answer is a hard no. But what it feels like is all the effort was focused on the restoration of the dude and not the protection of who he harmed.
Yeah.
And I think this is where I hate what happened with some of these major movements because they just got steamrolled with people's like political stuff. But like it is right to say, what are you trying to protect that who is not the victim here? And like, yes, there are two sides, and yes, you should deal with them appropriately. But like, we were so concerned. A lot of people were so concerned about it going too far that they forgot to actually support people who were victims of things.
Right.
And it was embarrassing and wrong. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Finally, the Israelites ultimately left Egypt. They could also see God's protection and plan for them. For all those who were willing to believe, they had evidence that they served not only a true God, but also a living God. For those who failed to believe, and many did, the plagues of Egypt and the initial trials led to other lessons by God. We know what the signs pointed to then. What do you think these signs are pointing to?
Nothing. Cash it out.
Yeah.
That was an easy question to answer at the end. Nothing.
Nope, not a thing. It's a terrible article. It's theologically poor. It creates it's gossip. And distracting. It teaches people to read the Bible poorly, and I hated every minute of it.
Is it just some dude on the internet somewhere, or was it like a reputable publication?
Israel Daily.
It was beliefnet.com.
Oh. All right, there we go.
And it was
happening in Israel right now.
It was the same lady who writes about 90% of the things that we run into.
I feel like beliefnet.com is just her in a basement.
Is that a paying gig, or is that just something like, hey, I'll put this
stuff
out
there? I think
it
pays in ads.
I mean, for like for her.
It's got to be. It's got. We should. I don't know how.
We might be paying their bills.
I think we need to be. We can each write articles.
Yes. We should start submitting things. Things not to believe from beliefnet.com.
That's just to be kind of believable.
That's right.
For science,
right.
The garbage man is the Antichrist.
For science.
He's willing to get involved in your deepest, darkest, hidden desires.
How do you know his name's not Bar Jesus?
That's right.
Why do you say the word jury like jury, but when you say the word Barry? Like you're going to bury a pot or bury a tree or bury a body. Wouldn't you say bury?
Hey, but
if you want to get caught in why do you say the same thing different ways across the English language, it's going to take us a long time.
If you were
going to
say Murphy, you'd say Murphy. Murphy.
Hey, but even...
You shouldn't say that at all. That's uncomfortable for you to say.
Bury. I got
to
bury a tree.
Yeah, but the name Jerry is also spelled differently than Barry.
Yeah, it should be Barry.
Yeah, this is Barry.
I got to go... Bury something.
Murphy. Dan, you try.
I hate how much you guys just...
I don't think I can.
Murphy. Who is this Murphy that you speak of?
I got to go bury it.
I've got to go bury Murphy.
515-517-0085. Call or text the Life in the Path complaint line. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, if you want to call there and say...
Let's bury the hatchet.
Call there and say Murphy in a fun voice.
Murphy.
Dan feels a little bit put on the spot here. But, Dan, I'm just saying, the complaint line's open. If you want to do it later in the week, you could call it up.
There's no batter's box, right, for me using weird voices. It just happens automatically.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's fine, and we laugh about it. Like, be dumb and do a silly voice. It's funny.
Murphy. Hang up.
Murphy. You cannot make more of a fool of yourself than I do every week on this show. It's fine. I've been doing it since I was 18.
Yeah. Given Booba's general demeanor, he's got a head start on whatever foolishness you're worried about.
You can't top me. Try it in the complaint line.
So anyway, give us any feedback on the show that you have. Maybe we've torn down your belief towards the end of the world, and you're welcome. It's not a complaint. You should call with a thank you. You're just seeing it wrong. Go about your day-to-day business. Live your life in such a way that in the return of the Lord Jesus, you are excited about it. And you are living that day-to-day life in such a way of which you will be aligned with his kingdom as you do it. It is not otherwise.
Amen.
Yeah.
I bought some Life in the Path playing cards last week.
Oh, okay.
You were the purchase?
Yeah, it was me.
Hey, I got a story about that.
And they've been shipped. I should have checked my mailbox.
Did it say they shipped?
Yeah, it said they shipped.
Okay, Dan, don't bother checking your mailbox for a few weeks.
They lied to me.
So here's what happens. No one orders stuff from the Life in the Path thing.
The fulfillment channel's not great.
So I get a message and says, hey, someone has purchased something from the
Life in the Path
thing.
Right now.
I'm like, freaking sweet. And so I go check it out. And they're
like,
hey, somebody bought... somebody bought two packs of playing cards.
I will bury you, Murphy.
I said, it's awesome.
I was going to take those to Zimbabwe.
Then they said, hey, your playing card supplier is not able to fulfill the shipment. I'm like, what? I've not even sold one. And now for some reason, so they say, you use an alternative supplier. I said, okay, no problem. So I find an alternative supplier. There's one supplier option, and they're in England. So I said, well, I got to swap it. Dan ordered the card, so I'm going to swap it. Maybe they'll get this thing out rolling pretty quickly. And so they did. The production time was fast. They got them created. But because it's an alternative supplier, it costs like an extra $10, which did not go back to Dan. I paid the extra.
You lost money on Dan buying
they were expensive
cards
enough.
They were pretty pricey as it was. And so
that's
it costs
so funny.
So like there's like $2 or something built in profit to these playing cards. And so by the time I ordered them from England to go to Dan, it cost me an extra $10 to fulfill Dan's order. Anyway,
didn't that same situation happen with the hat?
The trucker
hat. One time?
Yeah, I need to find a new store for
but that has reputable suppliers that don't bail even if you're not ordering.
But given the sense that we've sold like three things
in three years,
I
don't know anybody who's not us that has bought from Live from the Past store.
Oh, so yeah, somebody bought a hat a couple years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody bought a hat.
That was me on a surname.
Yeah.
I ghost wrote that and bought that hat.
Steve Asherah.
Call me Fairman.
Track package. Just see what it says.
Okay, yeah.
You should see if it can ship from England to Zimbabwe. It might save us a little bit of money.
We're supposed to install PayPal. I don't know how to install it.
I bet
Online from the Path this week, Dan tries to figure out online ordering.
Hold on. Now's the time to reheat the tea. Dan, tell us play-by-play what you're doing.
Yeah. It tells me I paid $31.52.
Yeah.
What?
It was $30, Ben?
It's insane.
Hey, highway robbery.
Hey, it was $43. I'm just telling you.
You are on this show.
Two decks.
Why
of
would
cards.
You make that bad decision?
Because I thought it'd be cool to I collect cards. I was going to have some laying around, yeah, and I was going to leave some in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, that's cool.
And people would start watching our show all over the place. Totally. Those cards.
The last 2 minutes are the oldest things I've ever heard you
the
say
end times.
Ever. Looking at your phone, going, I don't want to install PayPal, and then coming back with, I mean, I collect playing cards. So.
Yeah.
Also,
not,
regale us of your
me,
favorite things okay. about World War II.
I'm gonna. I'll see if I can find it. So. Let's see here. Buva, quick.
Do we even have close?
Yeah. This is going to be quick. Why are the pastors talking about the UFOs?
So, what I'm guessing is there is a societal distrust amongst the older Christian population in this person's area,
okay.
is my guess.
Yep.
About the kind of conspiracy theories and things that might exist in the world that just scare them at night. And I'm wondering if this person, in response to that, tried to find a biblical narrative to push on.
Okay.
Which they found in Ezekiel, and then kind of gave context into a couple different cultures, like Hindu myths, and certain Roman historians talking about certain things that might have happened in like the winters in 218 BC and stuff like that. Like different things around multiple periods of time, multiple areas that could talk about the existence of, you know, extraterrestrial beings. I don't know if you guys have ever heard like the Anunnaki before. That's like Babylonian thoughts on a space being, right? Like this is not new. There's a lot of cultures that have tried to deal with this. And there's a lot of reasons why people go, well, why do we have like hieroglyphics and cave drawings and all these different things and pyramidal things across the world all kind of dealing with this? Anyway, it appears as though this person was attempting to see if there was any kind of biblical thing that we could sit in.
In like a sermon?
Yeah.
Like Sunday morning exploration?
This is a Sunday morning, yes. Okay. Talking about like, well, let's look at what cultures around the world have said. Let's look at historical situations that have been written down and then backed up by, you know, eyewitness things that are written down, whatever. And let's look at, are there situations biblically that could also maybe draw between unidentified flying objects and, like, a misunderstanding of them, right?
Right.
And so, with all of that to be said, I did not listen to the sermon yet, but like I'm hoping that what it ended up as was, it does not matter. Just worship and love God and live your life according to what you've already been told and things that you know are true.
Right.
Like you do not need to get caught up in the questions of like, are UFOs real? Is God calling us from the lights in the sky, or should I distrust my government?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm hoping that it ended on a, it's all fine. Walk with the Lord. I'm really hoping that's how it ended.
Okay.
Knowing the person, I think that might be what happened, is that did end that way. But it's certainly an interesting vehicle to feel like you need to comment on or run with your Sunday morning crowd of like, all right, everybody, I know you've got the burning questions of are aliens real? And let's talk about them now through the lens of, well, Ezekiel looked in the sky and saw some crazy stuff. So maybe that was a biblical situation in which a being from the beyond came down, right?
So
I don't know.
So I hate that primarily because, for the same reason I hate the last article, it teaches people to read their Bible
wrong. Yes, right.
Like, no.
Yeah, look for these signs in it. No, you should stop asking that question.
Yeah. It was obviously a vision. That's what I'm saying. It's like the way to walk through that is to talk about like what is the how do you read your Bible correctly? What is the biblical story?
What's the symbolism?
Yeah. What like it's a like we know it's a vision. Like we're told
right. Yes.
We are told it is a vision.
Right.
Just
I was
like
taken
the,
by the Lord.
Just
to...
like the measuring of the temple in the Old Testament
yes.
is a clear vision. It's not in front of them. It's not a literal temple. It's a vision, just like John's is in Revelation. Like It's not a guess. That's not like, oh, I'm afraid of what it implies, and so I like symbolism in the Bible. Like it tells me that directly,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I probably wouldn't give it the time of day.
Yeah, right. I think
Yeah.
Right. And I agreed. I think that there's ways to look at it, like understanding symbolism through cultural lenses of like, this may be something that we have to stretch on to try and understand what the writer meant by this and what God was using the writer to convey. But like at the time, that wasn't a problem. It wasn't an issue that people were hearing this and going, is this aliens? Like, is this aliens, right? It's like, no, I understand. In my culture, that means this. The wheels in the sky, I understand that to mean this kind of thing. Eyes represent this culturally because I'm surrounded by it and I know it. It's in my native language, so there's no translation problem. Looking at it as that and recognizing that, like, the Bible wasn't gibberish to the people that were hearing it in the day. Like, it should not be something that, like, everybody's in these biblical times and they go, wow, I really hope someday this has context and makes sense in 6,000 years.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this meant something to them then. It gave them hope and a meaning to understand their identity through Yahweh. And, like, looking at it through that lens immediately discounts this possibility of going, well, is this aliens? Like, no.
Yeah. Can you imagine sitting in a crowd of people, though, where you're reading that and they're like, and then there was a wheel full of eyes, and everyone's like, yep, that's right.
Right. Everybody's like, yeah,
of course there was.
Yeah, absolutely. Eye of wheel, sure.
Yeah. I could see that totally.
It's like, hey, that big bear thing with the jaws in its mouth, like, that seems kind of crazy. Like, ah, Persia.
Right. Well, hey, why do we have to change, like, the material every time we get to a new body part? So then they had wooden knees, and you're like, why didn't you just keep making it out of bronze, man? Like, we already had the bronze out.
The bronze leopard was cool, man. Oh, gosh.
What does he do with the three other faces who don't get to see the action? Right? You feel like the lion face is like, will you let me look? Every time I turn around and look, that seal face come in and try to take all the action.
If I understand Bernoulli's principle well enough, I think that it would achieve flight with just two sets of wings. I don't think it needed the third. Like, that just seems for pomp.
I would have punched that smart aleck little horn in the mouth is what I would have done. Us big three horns ain't putting up with it.
Shut up, little horn.
Little horn brothers, call me famine.
Yeah. So, actually,
I play the trumpet.
Is anybody in the room feel staunchly one way or the other that there are or are not aliens?
I don't care.
I've always gone with the lean toward not, based on where Scripture says all creation groans waiting for the return of Christ. So why would someone on Mars give a rip why Christ was come back to America? To America.
I'm really glad I'm you're correcting article. That, Dan, because for a second globe. I thought you were being like, yep, the second coming is to America.
Freudian slip. Yeah. If they turned out to be aliens, I'm like, oh, I guess I was wrong. But that's why I lean the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm pretty sure the God's creation, he kind of,
yeah,
we're like the heart of
that would be super
heart.
Cool though to like there's another like Earth, and they didn't listen to the snake. They told him to pound sand. And, like, that one's just running like a top.
Oh, gosh.
They don't need
Mike
a redeemer.
Running into the multiple universe theory of, like, well, maybe there's a world where they listened.
And the trees are...
And that one, that first creation is Craig.
Yeah. Like, you that said... creation doesn't groan. They're just with God.
Right.
They're just fine.
They never left the garden. How cool, Craig.
We said, like, our father Adam, and they're like, you have stayed in glory like your father Craig.
There's, like, a comic out there where there's some aliens at the crucifixion. And somebody says, what did you do when he went to your planet? They're like, well, we gave him like cookies and coffee. They're like, oh, crap.
Oh, gosh. What a smack
we
in the
really
face
messed
from
up.
Our side. It's like, wait, he was just saying be nice to people. What are you talking about? You killed him?
That's true. Every alien you ever see, bare nude. Because they are not.
They
can fly across the universe,
now.
But they
they're
can't
not
make clothes.
No, listen to me. This is what we submit to beliefnet.com, is we submit that like the reason why aliens are always depicted as naked is because they live on worlds that God showed up to and that they never fell and clothed themselves in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
Seven signs aliens are angels.
Right. They had no
they
shame.
They never have clothes on because they don't see their own shame.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
we need
rough
to put one
and
together.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. No, I don't care either way. Like, it would not shake any part of my faith. I lean on, exactly right. I lean on, like, I don't need to, like, have the scale of the universe from a statistic perspective and go, well, it's impossible that we're the only ones who support life. I'm fine looking at the scale of the universe, trying to fathom how big it is and going, yeah, what an awesome story that God goes, like, even in all of this, I am still completely in control and love you.
I think it's likely.
Do you think we'll be surprised if there's just like Mormons on all those planets?
That would be surprising.
I would be very surprised if, like, for there's sure. Jupiter Mormons, and I hope that's a band name someday that gets pulled from this, the Jupiter Mormons. Yeah. Wait, you think it's likely that there's aliens?
Yeah, yeah. I like...
Is it, like, extraterrestrial life?
Yeah, like, when we would... But they're just alien because they're foreign to us. But, like, given the creator God, right? Yep. Like, two things I know to be true. His ability to create is vastly yes. larger. But like, if you think of the minuscule way of which our planet functions that I don't understand, I don't have any reason to believe that it doesn't go completely the other direction, right?
Do you think they're aliens with, like, eternal souls or, like, animals?
I don't know. Yeah. But, well, I don't know. But here's the other thing. So, like, one thing, I think there's nothing about God's creativity that would say I would have trouble believing that it's that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But secondly, even take historically what we understand from the scriptures, they're narrow. Like, you're not getting the history of the world. Like, God is given to us a specific story, a path of which to follow to understand him better. So would it be surprise me to find that my understanding is limited by the things that God has revealed, but there's, like, whole existences that are far beyond me that are not relevant to me or my existence or my understanding of God in my current place. And so there's no reason for me. I'm not being deprived of not knowing about it. And so I probably 10 years ago would have I don't know. And probably not. Probably leaning to definitely not. Why? I can't explain any of this. But, like, the more that I think about how much maybe my perception is limited by my perception, what I know to be the attributes of God, it would not surprise me at all. In fact, I find it to be likely.
So then I'm not trying to argue against that because there's really no point. But, like, from the perspective of, yes, we do have the context and identity of our God through the story that we have through the line of Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think then that those extraterrestrial civilizations or peoples or whatever have their own story that means contextually something to them that they can learn from? Or do you think God has a Bible that's Earth Bible that is contextually understood and
probably
can
in
be
King James
learned from? Right. Yes. King James Version.
Yeah.
Could be learned from as a way for him to explain his identity to his creation.
Yes.
It's very speculative. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. I just am curious.
I would not. Right. Yes. I believe it's very likely to me that contextually God's relationship with his creation outside of the context of our situation would have its own ways of which God interacts with them.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jesus multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like the tree of wisdom, right? A knowledge of good and evil. It says, hey, you guys should stay away from that snake. He's shifty. And then Greg is like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We will stay away from him. And then all is well, right? Cain never killed Abel. It's just Bill and Billy. And they just high five all the time.
And then a monkey ate the fruit and became Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. And then they're like, you are made in the image and likeness of God. And you're like, ooh, God's got three creepy long fingers. I don't know if I could take that in. And his eyelids move really slow.
Oh, AI's gonna love that one too.
Yeah. All right. There you go. See, I'm generally the reasonable party, but I think aliens are probably are likely. Go ahead, hit us up on the complaint line. 515-517-0085.
I wouldn't even ask you. Alien buffalo, maybe. But I
believe in the existence of aliens if they follow a pattern of a mammal that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I don't think that there's a human alien food chain comparison. I think humans are humans made in the image and likeness of God, and then I think that there could be Venus buffalo, and I'd be fine with it. They might even know how to drive a spaceship. Who knows?
There are vessel that came up,
like
the dragon.
Animals out in the world, as we would consider them, but you believe that there's not another like set of God's
equivalent
creation
human.
That are God breathed into.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay,
Think about it this way: the scriptures describe your future with forever with Yahweh as having a level of responsibility. Like you actually rule over people in the same way that God, you share that with God. Who are you going to rule over? It's these aliens.
The buffalo people.
Put them buffaloes in check.
Alien buffalo.
Wait, so your argument is for non-sentient creatures that exist in the universe?
No, I'm saying there very well could be. But like maybe they end up in a different level of forever existence with God. Now, here's the problem with my aliens is because I also believe that the trajectory of the restoration of the world is here.
Yeah.
Has to do with Earth.
You self-centered schmuck.
Yeah. According to the Earth Bible.
Right.
Yeah, right. What if there's Mars Bible?
The Mars Bible is really short. They're like, the snake was ignored.
They got their own thing going on.
All is well.
What do we call the beginning? Just life.
Yeah. And they say, when does anything go downhill? Well, when Elon gets here. Then
Elon gets here, you're about to meet a creation that messed up.
He's gonna, he's gonna bring the Earth poison.
literally have not worked a day in my life, and I'm 8,000 years old.
Right, I'm naked. I'm immortal. I eat fruit every day, friggin' name all these creatures. This is awesome.
Yeah,
and you want this fruit? Shut up. Leave me alone, snake.
To move from here to there, it just doesn't. I'm like, mountain, go cast yourself into sea, and there it goes.
That's hysterical. Yeah, an alien civilization meeting us, and we go, after the fall, it was rough, and they're like, oh, hold up, what? The fall, what are you talking about? They're like, when the serpent tempted Eve, and she ate that fruit, and then gave it to Adam, and they're like, hold up, what?
You
ate
the serpent
fruit? You guys actually ate the fruit? What are you talking about? You were in paradise.
Right.
Tell me more, because y'all seem to like be
Didn't
fine with that.
Did he tell you to stay out of the trees?
Right.
Well,
yeah, you remember God said the one thing, right? And then he was like, it's awesome, all the time with me. You guys actually chose, what if we're one of like 10 million worlds and we're the only ones who fell?
They're like, did you guys try to hide in a bush? Yeah.
God said he said the where are you thing. He knew where you were the whole time.
I know.
Why did you feel like you could hide?
Yeah, I was in the nude. Everyone's in the nude.
Right. Hey, Adam, do you remember when God like made your wife from your rib and some mud? Mm-hmm. And then after that, you were like, nah, he was probably wrong about everything else.
Is that weird that Adam's attracted to his own rib, though? You know what I'm saying?
I've never looked at a part of my anatomy and went, I bet I could make a wife.
Well, no, that happens to me all the time. I don't use mirrors because I'm distracted. I'm like, ooh, that's fine.
You are the worst. I can't stand you. We need to end the show right now. This is going to go downhill from here.
That's fine. Actually, but here's the thing. If you buy the Adam story, you're like, oh, he created another human being out of a rib. We got a problem with aliens? I don't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with them.
He does what he wants.
He does what he wants.
Yeah, right.
All right, Mike, we need to give some advice.
Here we go, last one.
The Amalekites have to wait for later.
Okay.
They're not from the path. I think I got heartburn. I don't know what's producing it.
Hey, do you think...
The show's never going to end.
Who's the guy...
John Travolta.
No. No.
Tony Danza.
It can't be.
Sissy Spacek.
James Taylor.
Same.
He saw...
I've seen fine, I've seen rain. I sent some fire in the bush.
That's what I thought. What if he's a prophet?
You think I've seen fire and I've seen rain is James Taylor saying, I mean, I've seen a biblical, our God.
He can use a donkey.
Seen a plague happen.
Sunny days that we thought will never end. That's the opposite
of
darkness.
The opposite, right. But then in the opposite, we're realizing that it could be true because, okay, yep, it's true.
Could not find a friend. That's a tribulation. That's a rapture right there. I'm just saying.
That's the other article we're going to write.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. The man speaks only Jesus.
Okay.
So do the killers.
He's
Mr.
got a
Brightside
song called Shower of the People. Come on.
Okay.
Was James Taylor a prophet?
Believe
Seven
it.
Reasons that James Taylor was a prophet.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, do you remember when you were reading A Dear Life from the Path a few seconds ago?
I got to heartburn. Dear Life from the Path. My husband and I have a friend, Sophie, who is cheating on her husband for 25 years.
Oh.
Of course, this is not our business. But now, unbeknownst to her husband, she has incorporated her lover into their everyday life. Ooh. Her lover is from India and is also married. Sophie is now obsessed with all things Indian, wearing saris, dancing in her lover's dance troupe, and wearing henna all over her body. My husband and I are involved in a small business with Sophie and her husband, and I'm growing more uncomfortable by the day as she constantly confides to me about her and her lover's sex life, addictions, and how she's pursued him, etc. I told her she's playing with the fire. Now I remain silent, hoping she'll stop. Meanwhile, she started a new business that has incorporated him into her life on a daily basis. Hold on. Is her current husband a complete moron?
Do you know, my wife recently took up a real interest in the Indian subcontinent.
And a guy from India. And all she does
she's
is talk about him all
troop,
the time.
And we eat curry every day.
And
like,
she smells like
weird.
Curry, yeah.
And she started a business with him and not me.
Right.
Anyway, seems normal.
She's a garam masala peddler now.
Here's the wrap-up. We love Sophie's husband. He's good and trustworthy. Man, he might be an idiot. I absolutely will never be the one to tell him what's going on, but we need to get away from her. without hurting the husband, what explanation can we give for stepping away on a business and personal level? Because he will ask why. He's kind and compassionate man who feels very close to both of us. Any gentle suggestions?
Okay, let me ask this question. Help me understand what is the motivation to not tell him? Like, what are they protecting?
Right. Yeah.
Where do you go, like, it's not my place. Why not?
Yeah. It's like someone shot you in the face, and as long as no one acknowledges that it happened, then you're not shot in the face. But you're shot in the face. You know what I'm saying? That's what's happened already. The thing has already gone down, and just not saying it, you act like you're pushing off consequences. Like, the consequences are already happening.
Right. You wouldn't do this if somebody committed a crime. If you saw that the husband got robbed and it was the Indian, you would say it. You would say, hey, man, you got robbed by the Indian. I know you don't recognize it, but I saw him go into your place and steal what was yours.
Why would you tell me
this? And gallivant around
town. Why would you tell me these things? I had no idea I was robbed. And now I know all them. This is terrible.
Yeah. I just, like, I it seems pretty common for people to go, look, it's not my place. Yeah. And I guess I'm pushing back on, yeah, it is. I don't understand why it is.
I agree. Yeah.
You should tell him directly.
Yeah.
I always thought that those conversations were funny. They're like, people would, like, just as a joke, they'd be like, hey, man, if I killed somebody, would you help me bury the body? I'm like, I'd turn you in instantly.
Yeah.
Like, right. I have zero problem, like, turning you over to the law. If you broke laws, I will get on the stand. I will say, I saw you do it. Like, I will tell completely the truth. You should be in jail.
Yeah, that's Mike.
None of this bothers me at all.
In fact, that totally happened. Like, Mike and I have an acquaintance who, like, told somebody, like, that we knew in our family, and they're like, hey, I stabbed a guy. And they're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, turn you in directly.
Yeah.
Like, right now.
Right, yes.
No problem.
No hesitation. Look at you and go, yeah, I'm going to actively shuffle you to the consequences of your own actions.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super awkward. They're like, I can't turn him in. I'm like, why? I just can't do it. I'm like, he's a criminal.
I would literally
I don't understand the problem at all.
No qualms with that. I'd be like, yep, you're
right
going to jail.
Right.
Straight to jail.
I can't believe you'd do that to me. Really? Because I can't believe you'd stab a guy. So I feel like one of us is more betrayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so in what circumstances – I feel like this has come up through in some of this advice before. But what circumstances do you feel like it's okay to not tell him?
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like the only part of me that says don't tell him would be the same part of me that says, but you need to talk to her. Like, and get her to see why she needs to stop what she's doing, own up to this, and fix her marriage.
I presume she's done that, don't you? Like,
I, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I don't think that would be helpful in this situation, because it sounds like this person is just wildly going and, like, not only, okay, there's a level of, like, there's infidelity, there's secretiveness to this, that, like, you're off in, you know, going on business trips and all this different stuff, and I get that this is super dramatized to what I'm saying, but, like, starting a business with the guy and, like, changing your entire interest set into everything to do with India, with this Indian guy that you're dating on the side but are not telling your husband about? Like, this is just nuts. Yeah. It's almost like I've seen situations where someone starts to actively make even more bold choices in an infidelity situation in the hopes of them getting caught, whether it's because they're done with the ruse, they're done with the exhaustion of leading a double life, or whatever it is, this kind of behavior starts to go, like, I'm begging you to find me in this. Mm-hmm. Not even for reconciliation, but just so it can just be over.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that's what this screams out to be. But to your point, I don't know why I wouldn't go to the husband and just be like, she is literally actively talking to me about her sex life with the man she is committing adultery against you with.
Yeah, because what you did is the problem is you're betraying a confidence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the gal that's doing all the cheating is like, I trusted you with information. Well, that was a mistake.
Right.
I was never trustworthy with this type of information.
What confidence did you feel like you deserved in this moment? Like, you are actively cheating on your husband and parading it in front of his face. If you think that you're going to come to me and, like, I'm the betrayer here because I told your husband about this, you're clearly out of your mind.
Yeah. I can't tell secrets that didn't happen. You know what
I'm saying? Exactly.
If
this
you had
gossip.
Not have broken the law, betrayed your husband, ex, insert, whatever, right? Like, the problem is you screwed up.
Right.
Not whether I tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell anybody things that never happened.
Yeah, I take the cops to the body and go, there. You can't look at me and go, how dare you to have done this to me? You murdered somebody.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's...
You should know that no one on Life from the Path is going to back up any type of infidelity.
100%. Do not hold confidence in us, because we are 100% going to turn you in.
Right, straight to justice. And I don't even care.
I hope there's repentance and grace in your life after that, but like, you will absolutely suffer the consequences of the decision that you made.
I'd turn in my wife. I'd turn in my kids.
Right.
I don't care. Like, they're just zero. I will not cover for anyone's crimes at all.
I feel like people ask the question of, like, what would your husband or wife have to do for you to, like, really turn them in? Almost anything.
Yeah.
Like, speeding, I'm not going to, like, call the cops and be like, Jones
going
72.
Nope, I take a picture of the speedometer when a woman gets out of hand. I'm like, I'm just putting this in the evidence, woman. As soon as I find a police officer, I'm telling what you've done.
I was in the car at the time of the crime.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
Here's the thing, is because at the end of the day, we adamantly believe that, like, admission of guilt, like, the only way to joy and to restoration is repentance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, how much do I have to not like you to go, I'll cover that up for you? No, I won't. I won't allow you to swim in your own muck. I won't allow it to destroy you. And then, because of your poor decisions, it's going to whiz on your husband and your kids and this business and my friendship and, like... And frankly, what kind of person are you that you're going to put me in this position? What a jerky thing to do.
Yeah.
To treat me like I now have to hold your secrets. That's a terrible friend that would do that.
Yeah. The love moment is not hiding the body. The love thing is like going, no, you absolutely need to reap the consequences of this so you can find repentance and can find a better side to this. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to affirm your sin.
Yeah, there's no reason. I like help you walk through it. We'll help you do all the other things. But
I'm not going
to
point you out in the bucket of crap and go, man, that smells bad. I'm going to give you a hand, but like, you're still in crap for a moment. We need to recognize that and move out.
I think I'd take that back. What if one of our laws put me in a straits where I'm like my wife had to kill somebody, but like the law is going to take it in poorly, right? They came into the house and we're going to kill somebody else, and she had to kill them but self-defense wasn't going to happen. They're like, this was murder, and she was going to get wrongfully accused. I would whisk her away and hide her, for sure.
I mean, I
have to know the full story.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think you're bringing in context to where, like, this is not a moral situation.
Well, I just don't want to feel like I turned my woman over to the authorities unrighteously.
Oh, no. Actually, I would agree with that. I would my morality
is
what I owe
from the law.
is to God, is himself.
Right.
I very might be suspicious with some sort of world government and might be willing to circumvent that in certain situations.
Yeah.
I will
definitely break
our country's laws.
Hey, man.
For justice.
Is this how church discipline is supposed to happen? Like, don't take stuff to the land. Like, try and deal with this amongst your brothers.
Yeah.
If you guys found out I killed somebody, like, is it on you to, like... Try and like bring me back to Jesus, but not turn me in unless,
that's how the Catholic abuse scandals has run as long as they have, right? Like if you killed a guy, we would counsel you to repent and then we'd turn you in. I'd drive you to the station.
But maybe it's not in murder situations. It's in like that guy owes me $500 and like still hasn't paid me yet. And I technically have a legal thing against them and could put them in slavery. But instead, handle it amongst yourselves and like forgive them for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Not, hey, Steve killed Paul. You should just talk amongst yourselves, not turn Paul in.
Best to your brother.
Okay. All right. I got myself out of my own argument.
The church building has its own like prison in the basement. We didn't want to turn him over to the police.
We've seen Steven forever. He killed a guy, actually. Like,
we have him locked down
Jesus
there.
Jesus said not to turn him in, so like we had to kind of deal with it ourselves. He's facing 25 to life, but like it's really just administered by us.
We got a murder in the basement. These aliens claim you didn't have to eat the fruit in the first place. I don't even know what's going on right now.
You guys know you had a choice, right?
A guy named Sonny Bolger's in here claiming he never committed no crime.
Call me famine.
Okay, here we go. Secular says, it's the end of the show. Get ready. Cue up the tunes. Secular says, the question was, any general suggestions? She don't want to tell the husband, and she wants to cut off all ties with the wife. Secular says, start by making yourself and your husband less available to socialize with these people. If Sophie continues to confide in you, tell her you do not approve and do not want to hear another word about her affair. You may not have to worry about keeping mum around the husband because sooner or later, he's going to catch on to the fact that something's going on. I don't know, man. This dude's like a window dressing.
If all the things that have happened up to this point, and he's got nothing.
Yeah. He's like,
I don't know.
Cool. Yeah. I love Indian food.
I love
well.
Indian food too.
Because you did not mention how closely tied your financial interests are with Sophie and her husband, I will assume you are not solely dependent on it. That is why you and your husband should consider telling Sophie's husband that, considering the state of the economy, your financial picture has changed, and you'll need to relinquish your interest in the business. Your attorney can help you with this. Okay, your advice is to lie.
Yeah.
You would
By
avoid
omission,
the,
yeah.
You would avoid the truth at all costs and claim it's an economic problem, when really it's his wife is legit cheating on him in front of his face as this dude grins like the Soundgarden video.
I mean, to be fair, though, Secular gave advice to the question that the person asked.
Yeah, I don't want to offend.
Right, I don't want to offend. How can I back out? Great. Stop talking to them. Tell her to stop talking about it, and then come up with an economic reason as to why you are backing out of the business with them. That is an answer to the question she asked. It's a real mamby-pamby way to do it.
Yeah, you know what? Real love is offensive. It just is. It has to tell you a hard thing sometimes. And so, like, if your only way of delivering love is one where the other party will agree how you've done it, I'm submitting that I don't think you're doing it very well.
Yeah. Somebody's on fire. Put them out.
All right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this evening. We very much appreciate it. Boy, that was a real...
It wasn't that long. We got started late.
No, that's about an hour and a half.
That's barely anything.
That's barely anything.
Shut up.
Call me Pistols.
Weren't we supposed to do a marathon this year?
What do you mean?
I thought we talked about it. Telethon? I don't think we, like, are supposed to do it.
Oh, a telethon. Yeah. I thought the four of us were going to run a marathon. I'm like, what, are you high?
Look at me.
You don't run a marathon. Dan wears pajama pants here all the time. I just recently quit smoking. Boova don't run nowhere.
Listen to me. If the four of us did a marathon together in legs, we still couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd give
that's
up.
That's like 8 miles per person. 8.25 miles per person. We're not doing that.
That's too many.
I would like to have you guys motivate me at the finish line and be like, come on, Mike, don't let us down. I'd literally run 2 steps and go, I don't care enough.
I mean, I'd run 5Ks. I can run a couple miles, but like I ain't in for 6 to 8.
Yeah, Ben, we're not doing this.
Okay, marathon's up. All right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. We're going to cut you loose. Maybe we'll see you next week. Maybe we won't. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.
Give it a toilet.